Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Welcome back to the Challenge Podcast. So today we have got one of my favorite things, which is interviewing one of the top 10s. In fact, our grand champion from the January Challenge, and that is Jolene Elson. Welcome and thank you for joining me today. How are you, Jolene?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, Coach Nick.
Oh, that is excellent. So how are you feeling? I mean, you are our winner. How does it feel?
Honestly, gobsmacked would be the only way to describe it when it actually happened. I set out with goals that were very personal about getting in shape for my wedding and so forth. It was very different to the last challenges I've been in. So this was a very personal journey for me. So to win it and take it over, it's never on my sort of thing, even though I did want to compete. But so I felt humbled, very humbled, because I felt that maybe other people set out with more intentional goals to be in that top 10 or whatever. And I sort of felt a little like I might have sort of stumbled my way there. But I do realize I work very hard and consistent and patiently each day, even though like taking out or being a grand champion wasn't the goal. I can still be very proud of what I achieved. So yes, I do feel very happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can 100% feel proud, but within, I'd say it's probably that you achieved the goals that you set out to do, which is a good lesson to everybody. I think that if you stay on the path of not looking at what other people are doing and stick with your own goals, you will achieve. And it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't really, that's the icing on the cake for what you set out to achieve anyway.
Absolutely. It was definitely that the case for me. It was probably a tale of two challenges. I've been doing, this was my fifth. So as you know, many people know that I did start the 12-week challenges in January last year, and work just got busy. So I didn't quite get through those, both of those. I let excuses get in the way, yeah. Even though health was my priority. But I then went on to do the next two 6-week challenges, which I was able to complete. But the first one I did, I think it was August, I sort of did it, but not really 100%. And all of a sudden I got a top 50 shirt and I was like, oh, wow, that was pretty cool. So it sort of motivated me that next time I'm going to do it, I'm going to go really hard. So that 6-week one in November, I did go really hard at it. And I was, you know, training 100%, throwing in extra things all the time on my training routine. Couldn't have a meal or a conversation without mentioning protein or macros, which drove everyone crazy. Yeah. And then I got to the end and I didn't get any recognition, which was okay too. I understood that, but I did feel a little disappointed, which made me reassess for this challenge that my goals were purely going to be my own goals. And that's what I set out this time, with goals that were just my own, and probably took it more intrinsic in my training. And that I think in that 6-week challenge, I wrote in the journal every day. I couldn't get enough of the community. I couldn't get enough of thinking Maxine's the whole time, you know, and I was a bit obsessive about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this challenge, I knew if I was to do it without probably losing my fiance, I had to tone all that back as well and just take a more even-keeled approach. And that approach certainly worked for me. It just worked not only, and that's why I sort of said it's the end of the all-or-nothing approach for me, because I achieved my goal, which was to get into the wedding dress, but I did it without this full obsessive approach. It was just practical, everyday compliance, and that's what got it for me.
Yeah, I really love that. And I think a lot of people can take from that. There's that intrinsic motivation needs to be there, because, you know, when the challenge finishes or, you know, if nobody recognizes your hard work, are you still going to do it? Mm. You know, that's the thing. And if your answer is no, which yours wasn't ultimately, then it's just worth thinking about. So you've already brought up something for us to, you know, think about and for me to put in the notes. So that is excellent. Now, I think you've already answered this one, but we'll go through it anyway. Why did you start the challenge?
Well, it goes back a few years. Since I've turned 40, which was 3 years ago, I have struggled I put on a bit of weight on a trip overseas and I just could not get it off. It was a trip that we took for our 40th birthday. I just couldn't. No matter what I did, all the things I did in the past just didn't work anymore. And it just hung there. And it wasn't until that 6-week challenge back in November that I finally broke through that 70 kilo barrier, since before I was 40. So that was like a 3-year journey for me. And So I started back in January because I wanted to try and get back to my former weight class or whatever I, you know, considered to be normal for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, those goals changed. It was very much about trying to get into, I'm getting married in August, and I wanted to make sure I was most fittest and strongest on the day. And I had not looked at wedding dresses yet because I wanted to try and get one that I know was going to be appropriate, you know, so I was looking to get down. So I really had that goal of wanting to get a fabulous wedding dress.
Well, people are obviously going to want to know from that, what changed that you, what do you think changed that made you able to break through that barrier? What changed in your training or your nutrition or mindset or all of the above that let you break through that barrier?
I think it was a number of things. I think since I started back in my job 2.5 years ago, which is rather sedentary, I didn't realize how much an office job takes away that daily NEAT, as you guys call it. I just wasn't getting that. I average 2,500 steps if I don't get out and do a walk or something. So being on the challenge really meant that. And I think I tried to get through a lot of the other challenges going, oh, I'll just get my training in, I'll just get the training in, and not doing those. So on this challenge, those 10,000 steps every day was a priority. So I would often prioritize that before I get my training done. But once I've done those, because I get home from work, once I've done those, I would then go, well, I'm in my exercise gear, I'll do the training now too. So the steps really made a big difference for me, which in turn helped with compliance. But for me, I think the mindset was definitely the all or nothing, because I had, you know, thrown in the towel a couple of times because it was like, if I had one drink, I might as well have four, you know, and or if I had one bite, I might as well just eat the whole plate. That was all gone in this one. I did have a beer probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 times through this challenge, but just one in a week. Like I might have had one on a social occasion with my partner or something instead of having 4 or 5, or that was it. I sort of just did it in moderation if I wanted. I did get through Easter without chocolate, so I did do 100% compliance on that. But other things, I would just have a bite and then go, done, not the whole plate, not the whole thing. So that helped me to achieve because I didn't have to throw it all in once I wasn't perfect. So I think that mindset was huge for this change.
Goodness me, very textbook with everything that we like to say. So I love to hear all of that. And I mean, your physique reflects that works because you have a very nice full set of abs there. Your midsection is fantastic. You know, your legs are awesome. You've got a very balanced physique. So good for you. You're obviously, you know, you train fairly progressively in the gym as well.
I have done that too. I've probably been, I can't remember, Coach Steve said it in one of the podcasts that people that are at the gym all the time, he had a word from them, something bunnies that always go to the gym but never really go up in weight. So that had been me for probably 10 years. Like I've been doing weight training for 10 years and I'd always be spotting around the same, you know, shoulder, everything, dumbbell weights were all around the same. But over the course of the 2 6-week challenges and certainly in that 12-week, everything just went up every time. By the end of the 4-week cycle of a one training session, you know, they'd all gone up in weights every time and I just kept doing that progressive. So that would have been a big change in it as well. Listening to the podcast and just tuning in on that week in, week out did help me keep that focus of progression rather than just being the bunny. I can't remember the quite word, but there is a word Coach Steve used in a podcast. And I remember when he said it, I was like, that's me. That's what I've been doing for years. And I changed that mindset that I've got to start moving up, not just getting through them.
Yeah, definitely. I think progression in every element and sometimes the regression as well, where you go, I don't need to be slaving away on, say, like a stepper machine, you know, waste my energy doing that. That, you know, that thing that we always learnt about for years as people in our 40s, we think that it's all about doing all of that and that's going to get you somewhere. But I think, you know, you've got your steps, you've got your training, you've got your nutrition, and that's about all you need unless you're training for a marathon or something. So it's good to hear that.
100%, I have to admit that, because in the past ones, I was a real like slave to trying to do cardio, do extra jogs, do 100 burpee challenges and throw that in. This time around, even towards the end, when I knew in that last 4 weeks, if I really wanted to clean up the bottom half a bit more, if I probably did a bit of running or something, I actually was listening to your podcasts and listening to how just that could melt away some of the, not melt away, but change the effect of the muscle growth. And I was like, no, I will not sacrifice that. I will just keep walking throughout this challenge. And that probably made a huge difference to what I'd done in the past, in that I would probably try to cardio my way through to the end a bit and maybe sacrifice some of that muscle. So,
yeah, I love to hear that as well. So it's just really nice to know that the word is spreading out throughout the challenge community, because that's what we really want to do. We want to educate people, only because, you know, say myself, I've been through it. So why wouldn't I tell you guys what I think works best? You know, it's not that all or nothing thing. It doesn't mean you can never, ever go for a run. It's just you don't want to become too good at it, because your body's going to adapt and go, well, I'm going to be a runner, so I don't need as much muscle, so I need to look skinny. You know, that kind of thing. And we don't want to look skinny. We want to look like you look.
Well, I just want it to stay that way. The other reason I didn't go hard in the last 4 weeks with cardio and stuff like that was because I knew I wouldn't be keeping it up afterwards. Mm. So I didn't want it to be a case of backing myself into that corner where if I start that, I need to keep doing that. So I just kept with the walking because I'm comfortable getting the 10K step. It's still hard for me at the end of work days sometimes to get 10,000 steps in, but I'm committed to making sure that happens because that is, you know, achievable.
Yeah. What do you do for work?
I'm actually the CEO of an amazing charity in Queensland, the Kokoda Youth Foundation, and we run experiential learning programs for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And we also, to raise the money to do that, we run outdoor education camps for schools, and we run endurance challenge events where Kokoda Challenge, where people have got to walk 96 kilometres in 39 hours. So I'm really blessed with my job. It is amazing, and I, you know, feel like I work for purpose, but as CEO it is long hours, lots of meetings, and you just got to do what you got to do to get the job done. And so sometimes that does sacrifice into that personal time.
Oh, definitely. And the irony of that is some of those challenges, I believe, are a lot of walking, and you are not able to do that yourself because you're arranging that everyone else does it.
Yes, it is so true. And I try. Occasionally I get to do some of my meetings with our, some of them I take them to the bush and we get to do bush walks, or I get to go back on program. In the early days I used to do a lot of programming stuff with the kids, which was amazing because you'd get out, but hasn't happened for a few years. So, yeah.
Oh, that's it is cool. Yeah, one of my friends has done that a couple of times. You know, I think in Melbourne there was one at the 10, the 1,000 steps. Yeah. So my friend Randall, who's a bit crazy, he did it, and another friend Jamie's done it. So I reckon it's awesome. So good on you. What a cool job.
It is a great job. And we haven't been in Melbourne since COVID hit, but we will be getting back there next year, hopefully. So, yeah, which is great.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah, what was your biggest challenge in the challenge? I think you probably, like, getting those steps sounds like a big thing.
Absolutely, it was the steps, without a doubt. Nutrition, I'm very self-disciplined, so nutrition doesn't get to me too badly unless I, you know, sometimes throw the, you know, I've got good willpower, so if I'm at a work function or something, it's easy for me to say no and not feel deprived or anything. And it's easy for me to cook up a whole meal for my partner and kids and then cook something different for myself. So nutrition wasn't the hardest part. It was the steps, just on top of the hours needed to get those done. Training wasn't too bad. I have a home gym, so I could just come home even if it was 8:30 at night and walk into the home gym and have a complete set of everything I need to do. So I was lucky in that regard, because a lot of people don't have that luxury. Like, they need to travel somewhere and then be around other people and then be conscious of other people watching them train. I'm lucky in that regard that I don't have that. But the steps was definitely probably my biggest challenge. But
do you meal prep or do you kind of take it day by day?
I kind of take it day by day. You've been amazing in your podcast in saying some things, because I sort of had this crazy mentality in all my years of trying to be healthy that you can't eat the same thing too many days in a row, or else your body will get used to it and then, you know, it won't adapt. So I always had this thing that I had to change my meals every 2 days at least. Listening to your podcast, just saying, just eat the same. So now I've got it down pat. I've got, you know, 6 or 7 meals I've eaten down pat. They're really easy to put together. And so I've never got an excuse not to grab something healthy.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so about keeping it simple. Like, I have, I usually order my shopping online, to be honest, and I have the same shopping list. Like, I must say my husband's a bit bored, but, you know,
I agree. I 100% understand. I go to Aldi and get the salad kits and 2 kilos of the organic chicken. And, you know, I'm happy to cook those up and have a different salad most days, and sometimes throw a bit of rice on it when I, you know, need to have the extra, depending on whether that is macro. So I found that pretty easy. I to keep with breakfast, I have 3 meals on rotation, and I do them different every 3 days. So that's just to keep my partner happy more than anything as well, because we always have breakfast together in our busy lives.
Yeah.
So that's a little, and that's why I struggle with steps, because I can't sort of wake up and go stepping in the morning or go get my walk, because that's our time before we both go off crazy, and we always have brekkie together every day, and I either cook meal or something together each day before the chaos of our work lives. So meal prepping wasn't so big, but sometimes I would occasionally make up extra and then have it for the next day. But I'm a day-by-day sort of person.
Yeah, I think that's really nice also to have that ritual with your partner, because it's not all about just our bodies and the way we look. It's about how do we incorporate it all into our life in general, you know. And if you can have your abs, but then you don't want to be alone at the end of the day. You want to have people to share it with, and people get annoyed if you're like, I'm not going to eat with you, I'm not going to do anything with you. People will be like, well, let's not hang out anymore.
Absolutely. That's what I found in the 6-week challenge last year. I was a bit like that. I was really putting it first, believing that was the only way to do it. So this time I sort of learned from those mistakes the last time, where, you know, I could feel a bit of tension from time to time, and not purposeful, but, you know, just getting annoyed by the end of it. As I said, having every conversation had protein, and it was probably not very interesting for him either. But this time around, I totally just took it all much more moderate, and it worked. And it's something I can live with, and we can all live with, and I'm happy with it. Just enjoying those encounters. As I said, I did have a few drinks through it, which I didn't allow myself to in that previous 6-week one, and I felt good about it. I didn't feel this mindset wasn't, oh no, I'm ruining everything. It was just like, nope, I'm here because I'm having a great time with my friends or my partner, and I'm okay with this. Like, it's good for my headspace sometimes as well.
That's excellent. So, like, for all of us that go, oh, how did she do that? Did you just wake up the next day and go, so what, and move forward? Is that what you did? Or did you have a big, like, worry moment about it?
I did. I certainly had a worry moment about it, because I sort of woke up and I was really happy and I was really excited, but then I felt a little bit like, oh, you know, not so much not deserving, because that, you know, I know I worked at it and I did the job and I was consistent every day, but I did sort of feel like, who am I to have this? I'm not someone who's like super gym, you know, crazy or super anything. Like, I mean, I just sort of felt like, oh no. And then I felt, oh no, do I now keep it up? If I can't keep it up, is there all pressure on me as well, like in the Maxine's community or whatever? But I know that's not the case. I've got a great support in Maria Crescieri and the girls in Game On. They were different this challenge as well. When you asked that question about what was different, I had Maria this time, whereas I, in the past, I didn't even know about the social group until that 6-week challenge in November last year. So I've done the first 3 without the social group, which makes it really hard. So that's probably my biggest tip. If you're doing this, get on the social groups, get into the community. That's really important. But I did have Maria this time as well, and she sort of has coached me a bit in this last week of resetting new goals and getting focused, and also reassuring me that I certainly am deserving of a win. So that's been lovely.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about that relationship and the relationship with the girls in that little team that you've got going on. How did you guys help each other?
I think for me, I have a busy work, so I didn't get to do maybe as much socialising with all the girls all the time. There's a group in there that are amazing, and they've got different mentors with their different people they're mentoring. And I think Maria wasn't going to take on any mentors last time, and I asked her before the challenge and she said, no, sorry, I'm not taking mentors this round. And then 2 days later she came back and said, do you still want to get ready for that wedding? And I was like, yes, please. And she agreed to take me on, and I was just like, thank you. And that to me felt twice as significant as if she had just said yes the first time, because I guess the whole time through it I was like, I'm not going to let you down, Maria. I'm not going to let you think I am taking for granted the effort that you're putting in. And she does put an amazing amount of effort into her team, so positive and empowering every day. So there'd be a check-in every day, make sure, and you've got your 10K steps sort of noted and recorded. And then there's just continual positive support and vibes going the entire time. I didn't have with my work, I don't get to stay consistent with it or with up with all the chats. But for me, just knowing that I could log those things at the end of the day and someone was watching, and that really helped a lot to keep me accountable.
Yeah, it does help to have somebody who you have to answer to with these things, I believe, because if you're just doing it on your own, sometimes you might, you know, it's human nature to just go, even with the gym, you know, I might leave a couple of reps out here and there once it gets hard. But if you know someone's going to ask you, did you complete everything, it helps, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think also the girls in that group, you got Maria and you got Felder, they're really inspirational women, and they do make you believe that anything's possible as you grow, that you don't have to be pigeonholed into one place. And they're also positive in the group as well, and they're like-minded, which is what our whole Maxine's and Max's communities, we're all like-minded. I think that's the thing I found the most refreshing when I did find the social pages at the start of the last November challenge. I was like, oh, no, I found my people. This is great. We're all talking about macros. We're all talking about protein or reps or whatever. And I was like, this is so great. I found my people. Yeah, I think it's so important to get involved and have that accountability.
Yeah, that's another point. So for anyone listening, if you have not joined the social group, you should join the social hub straight away, because and it doesn't matter what your level of fitness is, does it? It doesn't matter, because, you know, everyone's encouraged to post where they are, and we love to see everyone.
I'm not great at posting. I'm going to tell the truth, mainly because I'm really time poor. So if I get home, I do my steps, I do my training, and then if I get 5 minutes before bed, I might jump on and look in that, but I don't usually get time to post, but I always watch it and look at it. So even if you're not vocal in posting, you can still get so much out of it. So it is important to be part of it.
So true, so true. Yep, you can easily get a lot out of it and just watch. There's heaps of people. You forget how many, because often the same people will post and inspire people, but there's a whole bunch of people watching that might not feel like actually doing it, or they don't have time, but they're still getting a lot out of it. So that's a very good reminder as well. I love this. So how has your life changed? Let's just say since you won the challenge, how has it changed for you?
Since winning this last week was a bit rocky, because I was away at my niece's wedding and having a bit of a downtime when the win did come through. So I kept on a little bit of a fun weekend, had a few more drinks than normal in training. But I did get back into training the next week, but it didn't feel the same. It felt like I was a little lost. But I'm not alone in that. I think that 3-week mark is about normal. We'd all done the deload and then we were off on our own for a week. Mm. And I found the girls in Game On are all feeling the same way. So we started on Monday our little A challenge, which stands for accountability until you guys launch the M challenge. So we're doing a little A challenge of our own, where we're all you know, posting our pictures and putting our goals up and trying to keep ourselves on track until we launch again. So this week I feel like I'm right back at it, training hard progressively and tracking back, you know, foods in my fitness pal and recording again. So hasn't changed too much because my work is super busy. So that's normally my primary focus in that. But it's been so.
Well, that's exciting to hear that you guys are able to continue without us, you know, giving you everything. It's just fantastic to know, because that means that under any circumstances you can continue until the M challenge is ready, and daily it's getting there.
We all can't wait for the app. I think it's going to be amazing. It's such a great step forward for the whole program.
Developing an app is interesting. You know, it takes a lot of time, but we're getting there. So it'll be awesome once it's done. So, Jolene, tell me, what advice would you give to other challengers?
Consistency is key, no matter what. Just turn up every day and be consistent. You don't have to be extreme. You just have to be consistent day in, day out, and the results will come. It may take longer for some people than others, and that's not because they're trying harder than you necessarily. It's just we've all got different things going on in our own bodies, let alone our lives. But if you are consistent day in, day out, and even consistency at 80% is going to be far better than being up and down all over the place, like 100% one way, day, you know, 0% the next. consistency across the board is going to get the results and get you feeling better and also get you your head in the right space as much as anything, because when you're going really hard one day and then you drop the next day, that's just not good for your mental state a lot of the time. Like, you feel good the day you're going, you do it hard or whatever, but the next day, you know, when you don't, you start to beat yourself up. So if you can just be consistent, stick to the plans too, they work, they just do. You think you've got to give more, or you think you might have to change it here, but just stick to them, because they come from experts obviously, and they do work. Because you look at challenge time and time again, there's always winners and there's always people that get the results, and there's hundreds of them every time, even if they're not in the top 10. So you do get the results, but consistency is key.
So true. I love that. I love that. And this is coming from you who, you know, there were quite a few starters in this challenge, and look where you came. So never, ever, ever take that away from yourself. You know, that's something that you have achieved in your life, and no one can ever take that away from you, and you can't buy that. That's very, very hard work. And it sounds like there's a huge year coming up for you. Will you post some wedding pics for us when the
Yeah, time? Certainly will. Yeah, well, in August. So August will be, unfortunately, whenever you guys start M Challenge, I won't be able to finish it, but that's okay. I'll have some wedding photos for the end of that one.
Oh, well, I'm excited to see those wedding photos, and please keep us updated about what you're up to, because everybody wants to know, people want to learn from you. Once you have the responsibility of being a grand champion, there's just a few things that we, you know, we're curious about. We can't help it. So if you get the chance, visit us every now and then and check in and say hi.
I'll be on board with them, so that's for sure.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for being so inspiring and so interesting, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.